On the third Sunday of Lent in the Byzantine churches, they celebrate the adoration of the cross. And they do that by, you know, after the Eucharistic liturgy is done, there is a tray prepared with flowers and a sprig of sweet basil, and an upright cross is placed on the tray, and it's processed around the congregation for everyone to adore, to honor, to lift up. And as it's processed, they sing hymns of God's power and praises to the power of the cross. On Good Friday, here at St. Francis, in recent years, we've gathered here for Good Friday worship and often laid out a large cross on the stair and invited people to come forward and to kneel in adoration of the cross, to place a rose or to light a candle, and to dwell a moment and to take in and to reflect on the power of the cross. In Christian tradition, the cross is a thing of beauty. It's a thing of power. But unless we have a sense for how the cross is scandalous, how it's actually offensive to conventional wisdom, both for the first century Jew who first heard the message of the cross and to us, then it's almost impossible for us to really embrace how beautiful and how powerful it truly is. Paul speaks to this in his message to the first letter to the Corinthians. He talks about how the message of the cross is foolishness. It is considered a stumbling block to Jews and to Gentiles. It's foolishness. In first century Israel, Palestine, crucifixion was the most humiliating, degrading thing that a human being could experience. It was public humiliation, public punishment. A man, usually a man, would be hung on a cross in front of everyone, in a thoroughfare. People were expected to walk by and to see this spectacle of a man, dying a slow and painful death, exposed to the elements, dehydrating, all of his bodily functions out there before God and everyone. Utterly humiliating. And the experience of seeing that on the hill, who could stand and look at that? The immediate human experience, the obvious reaction was to turn away in horror. And that's why Rome did it. Because they wanted to frighten the people. They wanted to terrify in order to control. It was criminals and it was insurrectionists who were hung up on the cross. And so for everyone, and as Paul says, for Jews it was a stumbling block, for Gentiles, well, who wasn't a Jew or a Gentile in that time? There were a very few people who believed and who followed that, who you could call Christian. So he's speaking to a world that is largely non-Christian, and he's saying, conventional wisdom is you turn away from the horror of the cross. It is the last thing that you would want to embrace. And so for Paul to preach Christ crucified, to say this is the symbol of the power and the wisdom of God, was preposterous. It was scandalous. Who could make sense of it in first century Israel or Palestine? For us now, it's lost its scandal. We have a cross here. We hardly ever even notice it. We wear it around our necks. It's a thing of beauty to us now. So I wonder how we can, in our own time, get a sense of the scandal and why the cross has power. In first century Judaism, first century Israel, To look at someone on the cross was to see the most despised of human beings hanging there abandoned. That Jesus would have willingly embraced going to the cross meant to those who did believe that Jesus, that God, united himself then with the most despised, the abandoned, the criminals and the insurrectionists, those from whom the society turned away. And so if you fell into that category, and in some way, everyone who lived as a peasant in that time could relate to this if they allowed themselves. Because who didn't live under the crushing heel of Rome at that time? Who wasn't pressed down? Who wasn't abandoned by their own government? Who wasn't oppressed? So to see the hope of the cross that was given by Paul was to understand that Jesus, that the power of God is not in the gods of Rome, who were impervious to pain and suffering, who rose above it all, who were immortal and never suffered. The power of God was that Jesus came into the world to suffer with us. Jesus went to the cross and therefore united himself to those who suffer. And so for those in the first century, it was anyone who was pushed to the margins of the society, the prostitutes, the ill, the criminals, those who tried but failed to overcome the oppression in the society. And so for those who believed, they could grasp a hold of that truth that we say in our baptism liturgy, which is that if we, because Christ died with and for us, if we die with him, we will be raised with him. That's the hope and the power of the cross, is that power is not in Rome. Power is in standing with those and in uniting oneself to the value of all people, and especially those who are living at the margins. The power of God is in lifting people up. Power is not in pushing people down. True power. So that was the message of the cross in first century Israel. Today, some people say that they think maybe if we were to hang around our neck instead of a cross the picture of an electric chair, that maybe that would begin to help us understand the scandalousness of the cross. I'm not sure, because I think that the electric chair is something, execution is something that happens in private. It's hidden away in our society. We don't see it. We don't see the horrors of it, and we can't relate to it. It's really for people who are the dregs of society at the very end. It's not something that the common person can relate to. In my imagination, what helps me to understand the power and the wisdom of the cross is if I were to think, instead of hanging around my neck a cross, what about hanging around my neck a wheelchair? We have all seen and experienced being out in the world, and I think particularly those people who are in wheelchairs, who are homeless, who do not have access to all of the things that help, the technologies that have helped our disabled community to thrive and to have a certain amount of independence. We love and we really lift up in our media those stories of disabled people who have gained independence, right? And who have triumphed over their disability and found a way into ability, measured as it may be. What we turn away from in horror and in sorrow and feel powerless to do anything about is the homeless person in a wheelchair who can't get on the bus, who is, you know, scraping their way along the sidewalk, trying to get from here to there, and there's no curb cut out. There's no way to get on the bus. There's no way to get food. There's no way to get what is needed. And if we can't fix it, and if we can't see, you know, someone overcoming that barrier, but we have to just simply stand and confront the utter weakness and dependence of that person's reality, it's horrifying. It's horrifying. And it's partly because it makes us confront our own fear of weakness. Why is it that we love those stories of the disabled person who overcomes their disability? Because we are so deathly afraid of our own inability, of our own weakness. So the power of the cross in our time is that Jesus came and suffered and suffers now with that man or woman in the wheelchair who doesn't have access to the technology to survive and to thrive, the one we turn away from. Jesus has come and united himself to that person, and that is the wisdom and the power of God. How is that? Well, there's a story that I've read recently about a man who works with disabled people in LARCH communities. There's this group called the LARCH communities that exist around the world. And one of the things that they recognize is that people who are able-bodied live together with people who are disabled, and the able-bodied are there to be learners and to grow in relationship with those who are disabled. They're not there, they are there to assist, but they're not there as carers and as cared for. Those divisions break down in the midst of a community of people who simply live together and love one another. And those who are able-bodied have to slow down. It's like if we had here a couple of people sitting in the front row who couldn't move very fast, and everyone in the church had to wait for them to slowly make it up to the altar rail. 3 or 4 minutes for them to get to the altar rail, we would all have to slow down. Well, the value of the disabled in our community is that they force us to confront the idols that we make of success and ability and achievement. Maybe some of you have seen they force us to slow down and to see perhaps that our value isn't only in being able to get there as quick as possible, to make things happen, to be able. Maybe some of you have seen the documentary called The Race to Nowhere. This really lifts up the insanity of our addiction to achievement. It's about high school students and the pressures that they face and how it warps our sense of life. How kids are committing suicide. How bullying is on the rise. How even right here in PV we experienced a group of kids who were so bent, so pressured to feel that they had to get into Ivy League schools that they broke into the computer system and we had this scandal in which they tried to fiddle and get the best grades they could in order to make sure, secure that success for themselves. Our addiction to achievement has become an idol. And what is it that we are to do during Lent but to let go of our idols, to remember the commandments of God, that God is God, and we are not. And not to bow down or to worship anything but God. And God is love. God is not achievement and success and all the things that we strive after. Those things are good, but when they become a God that replaces a God of love, they distort and twist and create dysfunctionality. It kills us rather than gives us life. So If we understand that Jesus is now uniting to us, to those in our society who are hanging on the crosses of our world today, that are on the edges of society, then we can also understand that Jesus is uniting with that part of us that we are most fears being vulnerable and being put in that situation of weakness. Jesus is saying, you are valuable, you are worthy, independent of whatever you can achieve. And that's the value and the power of the cross. So as we move through this Lenten season and we try to heed this call to return to God with all our heart, let's examine whether we are adoring Jesus only on the crosses here at church, or whether we are adoring him on the crosses that are borne by people every day outside those doors. Do we see Christ in those who are on the cross today? Do we see Christ in our own weakest places, in our hearts, in our fears? Let's take that this season and cast off those idols and return to God with all our heart. Amen.